Good morning, Midland First. I am Jeremy Africa, the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. And on behalf of all who are helping to lead worship today, I welcome you to our time together. I'm very mindful, rightfully or not, that I might be gathering us a little bit disappointed with such high expectations. I felt like with each turnover last night, you could hear a collective groan. But we worship a God and we follow a Lord who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we gather here, whether it's virtually on our live stream or whether it's here in the sanctuary, I'm grateful for this opportunity to be together and to encounter a God who is living. As we enter into this time together, I'm going to hand things off to Pastor Bethany as we share a few opportunities to connect with the life and mission here at the church. So, Pastor Bethany, would you please share about our upcoming confirmation class?
Indeed, we will be having confirmation beginning this coming Wednesday. In the hearth room, we'll meet in the hearth room at 5:30. If anyone in 7th or 8th grade is interested, please call the office or send me an email. It is helpful for me to know ahead of time if possible. But we would love to walk together on the journey of faith as we learn what it means to take our baptism vows as our own. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Bethany. Also want to highlight to you several announcements you'll find in your bulletin today, and so I direct your attention to the back of the bulletin this morning. Here you'll find two opportunities to participate and contribute to the healing process we are beginning at the church, being led by the Lombard Mennonite Peace Center. The first opportunity is to respond to a questionnaire that the LMPC has put together for us. You may do so online using the link in this week's e-blast or my email this week about the healing process. There's also paper copies along with self-addressed envelopes that you might pick up on the countertop outside of the receptionist area closest to the Jerome and Larkin entrance. Invite you to share your perspectives of what has taken place in our congregation, some of our rhythms and culture here, and it would be most helpful if you would respond to this questionnaire by January 22nd. And so that is one way to participate in our healing process. And as I shared at last Sunday's town hall, and as you received in the email about this process overall, there are also small group listening sessions that are coming up that will be facilitated by the LMPC. These sessions provide uninterrupted time to listen to one another's perspective in a safe and supportive setting. The dates and times for these sessions are listed on the back of your bulletin this morning. You might sign up for these sessions through the QR code. So if you point your camera at that funny-looking graphic, a website will come up that you click on, and that will allow you to sign up. Or, if easier, we invite you to contact the church office and to sign up for these listening sessions. So you might feel, given some of the times that we have been through as a congregation, that you need to sign up for yourself. Allow you to share your perspective and some of your hurts that have taken place over the last few years. Or you might feel that you might sign up in order to be supportive of others who are walking through this process. Whatever the case may be, invite you to utilize these opportunities to move our church forward and to be supportive of us as a healing process. For those who are newer to our congregation and might be wondering, you know what? Are we healing from as a congregation? We're simply acknowledging as a congregation some of the losses that we have encountered over the last 10 to 12 years. Some of those losses are incurred through transitions of pastoral leadership, some of it connected to our work as a denomination regarding the inclusion of LGBTQ within our community. We might also consider how our church has been impacted by the pandemic and losses associated with that. And so we're taking this work on as a church that we might move together into all that God has in store for us. So encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity and to help breathe healing into our church. Again, encouraging you to either fill out the questionnaire and also to sign up for the small groups. Finally, I want to make sure we are all aware that in observance of Martin Luther King Jr. Day tomorrow, the office will be closed, with our regular office hours resuming on Tuesday, January 21st. And so if you'll be mindful of that as we walk through this week, we would greatly appreciate that. So I invite you to be mindful of all of those and other opportunities you will find in the weekly e-blast, opportunities to connect and be a part of this church's life. But at this time, I'm going to invite you to stand and to greet one another, and Teddy will bring us back to worship and back with one another by ringing the bell.
If you could remain standing as you are able and join with me in the call to worship. Come, let us worship God, the giver of everything good and of every gift of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. He has given us a variety of gifts for the common good. Let us build up one another in love as we use the gifts God has given us to His glory.
Glory to God, the author and perfecter of our faith.
Let us remain standing and join one another in singing our opening song, Shout to the North. The lyrics will be on the screen before you.
Broken hearts, who can know the healing
Could the children join me, please? And thank you, band. Oh, good to see everybody on this cold day. Not as cold as the ones in our near future, but we'll take care of that one day at a time.
Yeah.
Good
morning. Well,
I wouldn't count on school being out except for tomorrow. Our lesson today is about three people who knew Jesus, was forever. They are John the Baptist, Simeon, and Anna. From the beginning, they knew Jesus was the good news. They knew Jesus came to turn the world around and upside down. As we pray the beginning of the prayer, every time I say turn, spin around as you pray. Dear God, help us to turn and listen to you. May your words turn our world around. In Jesus' name. And since these three people spoke Hebrew, we are going to say one more prayer with Hebrew words. Words for friends, life, and peace. What could be more important? Dear God, thank you for Havirim. Thank you for Chaim. Thank you for Shalom to our world. Amen. Let's go to Sunday school. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Joyful Bells. This time I'd like to invite forward our members of the congregation who are serving on the Strategic Leadership Council this year. So at this time, I invite you to come forward. And so as we step into the new year, I thought during worship we might take this opportunity to recognize our church's leadership and to pray over them as they lead us as a church in our mission and life together. And so I'm going to start with our Strategic Leadership Council. For those who this body is new to you, you might understand that we shifted to a model of church leadership wherein we folded in the responsibilities and roles of the Administrative Council, the Finance Committee, the Staff Parish Relations Committee, and the trustees into one council. And so these are some of your members before us. You'll find it also all the members in the bulletin insert that you received walking in. You may wish to be mindful that serving for the class of 2025, meaning they serve on the council now through the end of 2025, that includes KG Duso, Bill Klein, and Diane Lake. Serving through the year 2026 is Faith Fuentes, Ellen Talbot, and Pat Seaton. And then serving through the class of 2027 or through the year 2027, we have Brad Barr, Dan Morgenstern, and Jan Juergens. Very much encourage you to take the time to read later on what they have shared with you in your insert, that you might understand their involvement within the church and also their hopes and dreams as we pursue the mission of our church. Next, I'm going to invite the chairs of several of our committees to or teams to stand, that you might understand those who help support and contribute to the work of the Strategic Leadership Council. And that includes Denny Buckler, who serves as the chair of our accounting team. I'm going to ask you to remain standing, if you will. Also, Fred Gray, who serves as the chair of our endowment committee. John Horton, who serves as the team leader for our facilities team. And Kayla Williams, who chairs or vice chairs our nominations committee. And so along with these chairs and leaders, I'm going to invite all who serve on either of these committees or teams to also stand that we might recognize your ministry among us. So that includes all who are serving on the accounting team, the endowment committee, facilities team, and the nominations committee. So you have a bigger scope of those who contribute to the work of the administrative work and leadership of our church. All their names are listed in the insert. You might note we have an omission to add, which is Cindy Blodnick, who serves on our nominations team or committee. Next up, if you'll remain standing, I want to invite everyone else who serves as a team leader. So these are a lot of our ministry teams. These are our STEP team or our church and community team, or our Memorial Garden team, or our worship team. You'll see all the names listed of those committees. If you'll please stand. Thank you. And next, I'd like to invite everyone who serves on each of those ministry teams to stand and to be recognized for your ministry among us. And so as you see those who are standing, you might envision that these are those who are the engine of our church. They are the hands and feet who help lead the work of the ministry teams in doing this work of helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. Indeed, there are others, if you'll remain standing, there are others who serve in ministry. I think of our music ministries. I think of other teams that are involved in the life of the church. But I'm hoping that we're getting a grasp of what is involved within the leadership of our church and in what we do and who we are. I invite you to reach your hands out, if you're comfortable doing so, to those who might be around you that you might share in our prayer today. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for the gifts that you have given each of us to be and do the work of the church in your presence in this world. Indeed, we give you thanks for those who are in our sanctuary this morning, those who are joining us online who will be serving in leadership, those who serve behind the scenes and we might never catch a glimpse of how they are helping to lead this wonderful congregation, the good work you are calling us to do. And indeed, O Lord, we pray this morning as a congregation for your Holy Spirit to do that work of dancing among us, to anoint all those who are standing, to empower them with the gifts that you have given them, to lead us and to guide us, to walk alongside us with servant hearts, that we might imagine here in the church, and even more so in our greater community and in the world, of how you are continuing to build up your presence, your peace, and your grace among us. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we express our gratitude for all who are helping to lead the ministries of our church? Thank you very much. You may be seated. Thank you.
As we come to a time of offering, would the ushers please come forward?
When I see the sun rise in the morning, when I feel the wind blow across my face, when I hear the sound of children playing, I know it's all part of God's amazing grace. I believe there's a place called heaven. I believe in a place called Calvary. I believe in a man, his name is Jesus. And I believe soul away to be crowned at Jesus' feet. And I believe there's a place called heaven. And I believe in a place called Calvary. I believe in a man, his name is Jesus. And I believe that he gave.
and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives to one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. While I don't hold any kind of professional license or certification, I will go ahead and claim the title, and do so boldly, of expert builder. Now, believe me, I'm well aware that some of us have been together on mission trips. During my previous appointment here as one of the church's associate pastors. And if such is the case, I can imagine right now that you might be in your pews. You might be scratching your head. Your brow might be furrowed. Your nose scrunched up, or you're lifting an eyebrow. Or otherwise just thinking, I just don't remember that about you. Or about me. Well, before I let anyone's imagination run too far from the truth, let me specify my claim of being an expert builder. More so than anything construction related, I'm thinking here more in the sense of building stuff. In other words, if it comes in a box or a package and there's a label on it that says some assembly required, no problem. I am your guy. I really am. I'm your person. Somehow, with how God wired my brain, I have the uncanny ability to understand sketches like these. I, in fact, even find it enjoyable. Perhaps some of this stems from my enjoyment of Legos as a child, or having lived several years 20 minutes from an IKEA store. Or perhaps it has to do with how God has wired me. Whatever the case may be, I'd rather enjoy assembling stuff. For sure, along the way, and through trial and error, I've learned a thing or two. For example, if I take time to look over and, yes, follow the manufacturer's instructions, what I end up with is much often better than if I had done things on my own. Also, if I follow each step along the way, I find that each part contributes to the greater whole in some sense. In other words, I end up with less seemingly stray or extraneous parts, And in seeing the end product, I can appreciate the role and the significance of each part to the greater whole. Indeed, with these simple lessons in mind, what I put together is much sturdier, more apt to stand the test of time. And I believe what I put together seems to reflect more and more the Maker's intent. Believe it or not, what we're talking about here is relevant to the church. Yes, the church long ago, and still the church today. Right around the middle of the first century, a man named Paul, we often call him the Apostle Paul, wrote a letter to the early church in Corinth. And this church at the time was struggling with a number of issues. Issues concerning their beliefs, issues concerning the behaviors that stem from these beliefs. And so the Bible reading that Pastor Bethany read to us this morning from 1 Corinthians 12 comes from a letter written by Paul to the church, wherein he's addressing these struggles that they are having. And verses 1 through 11 here deal with the church's understanding, or really misunderstanding, of how the Holy Spirit is at work within their church, within their faith community. More specifically, in addressing their misunderstandings, Paul is pointing to how all the various members and all the spiritual gifts come together to be the church and to do the work of the church. Now, before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's be clear as to what we're talking about when we're referencing spiritual gifts. So in the church, when we talk about spiritual gifts, we are talking about God-given abilities that enable us to contribute in meaningful ways to what God is doing in the world. So these are more than just skills or talents or aptitudes that we have chosen on our own to develop, to hone. But instead, these gifts are breathed by the Holy Spirit. They are God-given. And they enable us to contribute in meaningful ways to what God is doing in this world. So regarding this gift, Paul wants us to understand a number of facets about spiritual gifts. A number of things, at least three. First, Paul wants us to understand that the Holy Spirit has given each of us a gift or multiple gifts. It's not a matter of some having been given a gift and others not. It's not a matter of the Holy Spirit drawing a line among us, saying this is going to be the A team, this is going to be the B team. I remember that happened in middle school, right? You sign up for basketball and you end up with the A team and the B team. The Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. Each of us has been given a gift to contribute significantly in making a difference for God in the world. Think about this just even for a moment. What does this say about our God, who is able to give each one a gift? Perhaps we begin to see God's creativity or God's abundance, God's presence or power. And what does this say about you? And what does that say about me? That the Holy Spirit has poured something into us that we might share in the work of what God is doing What does that say about us as a church? When we consider how God might take all of these gifts . Secondly, Paul wants us to understand the purpose behind these God-given gifts and abilities is the good of the whole. The purpose for these gifts is the good of the whole. If you read this passage in the New Revised Standard Version, the NRSV interprets it as the common good. In the New Living Translation, which we read this morning, it's been translated that each of us has been given a gift so that we can help each other. The idea behind what Paul is saying here is that God has not given us these gifts so that we could prop ourselves up on a pedestal or boast about ourselves. In fact, this is one of the traps that the church in Corinth fell into, thinking that those who were given a particular gift, that those who were able to speak in tongue or have the gift of knowledge or wisdom were somehow better, somehow more spiritual, somehow more valued than others. Instead, in teaching us about spiritual gifts, Paul makes it clear that the primary purpose of these gifts is for the good of the whole, the helping of each other, the shared common good. So each of us has a gift. The purpose of these gifts is the common whole. The third and last lesson that we'll touch upon here that Paul throws into these verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is that it's the Holy Spirit who decides which of the gifts we are given. The third and final lesson ties into the previous lesson. In other words, what grounds do we have for boasting about being gifted in one way or another if, in fact, the Holy Spirit is the one who determines how each of us is gifted, and if each of these gifts are necessary for the work of the church and its presence in the world today. And so when we step back and put all this together, what we discover in Paul's description and teaching of these spiritual gifts is that Paul is encouraging us to embrace a spirit of humility and even mutuality where it comes to being the church, where it comes to what each of us has to contribute to the greater whole, where it comes to making a difference for God in the world. Paul is hoping that we recognize that in doing so, we ought to embrace a spirit of humility and of mutuality. So I suppose we might ask, what do these writings, mid-first century, have to do with the church today? What does this inspired word of the Holy Spirit look like today? Well, on a Sunday like this morning, you might take the bulletin insert, because in this insert, we've listed each of our committees and ministry teams. And I might rightfully say that this is what Paul is writing about. For so much of who we are and so much of what we do is captured and stems from these teams and each of these committees. And so I think I would be right to suggest so, that perhaps you just take that insert and see it as the embodiment of what Paul is talking about. At the same time, in considering all that Paul says about who we are and all that we're empowered to do as a church, my mind can't help but revisit or re-envision some moments from just the past few weeks, such as when three of our youth walked up during the 7 o'clock service to serve as candle lighters on Christmas Eve. Each one with a place and the ability to contribute. Or when I re-envision or revisit a conversation I shared with one of our 90-plus-year-old members about singing in the choir. Still, and I can't help but re-envision what Paul is talking about. Or on a Sunday when I saw a teacher, when I saw a service veteran and auto technician, when I saw a scientist, when I saw a photographer, when I saw a doctor and judicial specialist. It sounds like a joke, right? But I saw all these divergent paths coming together, not only to serve a meal during our Sunday lunch program, but to provide a sense of belonging for members of our community who need to know they have a place among us. Or I can't help but think of that moment when I heard about how our children helped put together Valentine bags so that in and around Valentine's Day, we might not only serve a meal, but maybe go a little extra step forward to help others know that they are loved. I can't help but re-envision and rethink about how even the youngest among us played the role of baby Jesus at our Christmas Eve 4 o'clock service. And be reminded that each of us has a place and a way to contribute to the greater whole. Even this morning, I'm sitting, waiting, and getting ready to lead us in worship. And I take a glimpse at our narthex, our entrance off Main Street. And I see a silhouette of two children helping their father serve as an usher. And I can't help but hear what Paul is saying. Can't help but see for myself what Paul says. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. And may it continue to be so with us. Amen. Amen. As we come together for a time of prayer, invite us to be mindful of our nation's observance tomorrow of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Indeed, we celebrate the life and the ministry and the gifts of the civil rights leader who helped shape our nation. So let us be mindful of his work as he encourages us to appreciate one another for the content of our character and all that we bring to our nation. Let us pray. Oh, Holy Spirit, gathered as your church on this Sunday morning, here in your sanctuary, here in our various places, yet here all together, we are reminded of how your Spirit continues to dance among us. We're reminded, O Lord, of how you gift us and how you empower us, of how you have given us abilities to contribute to the common good. Lord, sometimes we take for granted these gifts that each of us have been given. Sometimes they lay dormant in the busyness of our lives. Sometimes they get set aside as we get accustomed to what we can do or think we might do on our own. And yet Paul calls us to envision our life together, altogether different. To know that each of us has been given a gift. To know that one another and our world might encounter you through us and what we contribute to our life together as a church. To know that we might boast of who you are and what you do through the use of our gifts. So, Lord, on this day, help us to recognize how you have gifted us, not just as a church, but as individual followers. Help us to grow in the so many ways you allow us to grow when we exercise that which you have given us. We give you thanks, O Lord, for your work among us as it reminds us of the hope we have, as it reminds us to the work you call us to do, as it reminds us of your presence with us. Lord, we join our nation this week in remembering the work, life of Martin Luther King Jr. And we pray, O Lord, that we would continue to do this work of his dream, of his life among us. Help us to remember that indeed, as he proclaimed prophetically from the Lincoln Memorial, that when we allow freedom to ring, we'll be able to speed up the day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last." Help us to speed up that day and to continue that work. Lord, all this we pray, believing in your presence among us, your anointing, and in your power. As we pray the prayer Jesus has taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Let us stand as you are able and join one another in our closing hymn, "God Whose Love Is Reigning Over Us." You'll find this on page 100 of our hymnal or on the screen in front of you. We'll be singing verses 1, 4, and 5. So this morning, as the rhythms of the morning, or the flow as the morning would have it, had the opportunity to sit in the back of our sanctuary and just hear our joyful bells rehearse. Sometimes it's hard leading worship to fully appreciate what is taking place with our music and worship. So I just took a moment to listen and to look. And it was kind of neat. There's like this, I don't know if my music terminology is right, but a syncopated beat maybe, a little bit different beat during the song, right? And I saw the ringers who are on this side of the table, how they did that together, and how you could even see there are like four of them involved with that part of the piece, almost like swaying together, like one. Then I think of all the various bells on the table, and how they contribute to this greater whole. And I see Nathan as I'm sitting up here, and I see his face directing the choir. There's this joy. And then there's this interconnectedness, as if the sound that we are hearing is flowing from his hand. And then I think about the song itself and how it might have us imagine the different rhythms and the different flows of how the Holy Spirit dances among us. I think about all of this, and I can't help but think once again of the gifts each of us have been given and what might be possible. If we take those gifts together and help people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. May it be so. Amen.